It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore the shipments and unique cargo traveling through Port Milwaukee terminals and how it affects Wisconsin's economy and access to the global marketplace. Call in with a question or share your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jackie Q. Carter is director of Port Milwaukee. Jackie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's discuss the cruise ship sector first. Port Milwaukee opened the season earlier this month, docking the first recreational cruise ship of the year. Dozens of arrivals expected this summer. Is the cruise ship economy growing within the port?
We believe that it is. We've seen a really big increase. So in 2019, that was the last active cruise season we had before the pandemic. We had about 1,000 cruise passengers. And in 2022, we had over 13,000. So there was a big jump. There are new vessels that are entering the Great Lakes. So Viking has two vessels, both of which will visit Port Milwaukee this year. One has already come. We expect the second one to arrive this weekend. But there's other companies as well. We've got right now the Hanseatic Inspiration is parked over at our cruise dock right behind the Lake Express Ferry. So a bunch of different companies bringing expedition cruising through the Great Lakes, and lots of Great Lakes ports are preparing for this business. So we do believe that it's growing and it'll continue to be strong. People are really excited about what they can experience on those Great Lakes expeditions.
Jackie, I saw the images of the Viking Octantis, and I was like, wow, that is coming into Port Milwaukee. This is like it goes to like polar regions and it cruises the Great Lakes. What does that mean for tourism?
I mean, we're getting a different demographic than we've gotten. Some people who may not have thought about Milwaukee because Viking is coming here, they're getting an opportunity to see all that we have to offer. And people are really excited about it. We get calls, for folks who are flying in from other parts of the country, other parts of the world, just trying to make sure that they have all of their logistics in place for when they're going to be here. So that first Viking ship that came in this year, there was actually a local couple that was on that vessel who'd been on the ship, I believe, about 65 days. They started in Antarctica and ended their trip here in Milwaukee.
Wow.
Well, yeah, really, really wide variety of experiences, really wide variety of where people are coming from. So from not just from the U.S., but from Canada, from Europe, from all over the place.
And it means easier access to local Wisconsinites who wish to board a ship.
That's right. And we have some of that, too. Some folks who are looking to have that experience are starting right here at home, and then they get to experience other parts of the world, but starting right here in Milwaukee. So really exciting for all of us.
Walk us through a little bit of the docking infrastructure, what the vision is, especially for the South Shore cruise dock.
Yeah, so right now we have three different places where we can dock a cruise vessel. Pier Wisconsin, our cruise dock right behind the Lake Express Ferry where that vessel is parked. And then in our commercial space, our City Heavy Lift Dock, we're looking to build South Shore Cruise Dock out, which would be the east side of the parcel right behind Lake Express Ferry. And then we would then move from the commercial space where the City Heavy Lift Dock, that's where Viking is currently parking, and that's because the ship is so large, the depth of water that's required is better there. So we're not able to accommodate ships of that size down at Pier Wisconsin where some of the smaller vessels can go. And so we're looking to build out that South Shore cruise dock so that we can accommodate the larger ships over there.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Port Milwaukee's leader, Jackie Carter, is here as we look at port activity and what to expect over the next months. You can join in with your questions about tonnage and shipments, other questions you have at 800-642-1234. Jackie, stepping back a little bit more broadly here on your priorities, what are your goals for expanding the business of the port this year?
So the way that we've talked about it internally, we're calling this year the year that we're working to build on the momentum. So we saw 2022 as kind of the year that we were bouncing back from some of the things that we saw where we saw some decreases during the pandemic. We're really looking to build on that. So 2022 gave us an opportunity not only to reintroduce cruising to this market, but also to demonstrate our ability through our employees here at the port, but also through our tenants and customers and different partners in the community, demonstrating our ability to support business. So that means helping them to get their commodities from this region out into international markets, but also helping businesses that might need materials from international spaces get those into the region. And so just continuing to build on that momentum, helping to share those examples of some of the things that we've done well, and helping businesses that may not know how we can have a hand in facilitating their success understand what we're able to offer. So we're building on that. We're building our infrastructure out. We talked about the South Shore Cruise Dock, but we're also working to ensure that we are making sure that our terminals and our facilities are able to handle the amount of business that's coming in here. We've got the DeLong Agricultural Facility that's going to be coming online pretty soon. So building that out, and that's going to really be a great resource for farmers, growers, producers in the region to be able to get their agricultural products out to international markets. So just really building on all of those things, trying to see if there's opportunities to, continue down some of the paths that we've started to pave, and looking to be innovative. If there's new ways and new avenues that we can enter, looking at those things. So just trying to be open, but also strengthening what we've done well.
We're going to talk further about the Agricultural Maritime Export Facility and what that will mean. But I first want to look at a little bit more on the funding streams, because federal lawmakers approved a $1 trillion funding package for infrastructure projects back in 2021. And wondering, is any of that federal money flowing to Port Milwaukee?
We sure hope so. We are. We've submitted a grant request to build out some other opportunities here at the port. So working with our tenants to develop some different ideas. So a couple of different grants, one through the city of Milwaukee or through the port, and one through the state of Wisconsin Department of Transportation, have been submitted for some projects. So, and I don't want to get too into those because, you know, they're still working on those, and we don't know if that those funds will come through. But we're certainly going after those. The port has had a great reputation of being successful in leveraging grants so that we can not only support what we do, but also leverage local funding to be able to operate at a level where we would not normally be able to operate if we just relied on our own resources.
Okay, so would those grant funds be going toward infrastructure? Would they be going toward growing the port? Like, what aspects of the grants can you reach that that you wouldn't be able to otherwise?
Yeah, traditionally, so historically, the port's grants have gone towards infrastructure projects.
Mm-hmm.
So use those dollars to, we own a railroad, so making sure that not only are we maintaining what we have, but building out where we see a need. So if we need to expand rail, if we need to upgrade rail, we've done a lot of that work where we were upgrading our facilities, paving. It just really depends on the grant source, where the funds are coming from, and what the requirements are. But we try to, you know, if there's an opportunity to leverage funds to support what we've already got planned as far as, like, our capital improvements, we'll go after those funds and try to, you know, get that work done.
Jackie Q. Carter, director of Port Milwaukee, as we explore the vessels, the shipments, and the activity at Milwaukee's harbor and the economic effects of that tonnage. Be part of the conversation about international shipping on the Great Lakes. Call in with a question, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As hundreds of vessels move through Port Milwaukee each year, we get up to speed on port activity and how it contributes to Wisconsin's overall economy. Join in at any point throughout the conversation. Call in with a question at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jackie Carter is Port Milwaukee director. Jackie, let's turn to the new agricultural maritime export facility, the DeLong facility. How will this new terminal, what will that mean for Wisconsin farmers and the agriculture markets?
So we were really excited about the DeLong company being in a public-private partnership with us to really help to move agricultural products through the region out into international markets. And last year, that really became, or earlier this year, the importance of that facility became even greater because we had a grain facility that's at the Inner Harbor here at Port Milwaukee. That facility was sold. And our understanding is that there will not be agricultural products moved through that facility. So that just makes the DeLong facility that much more important because farmers and growers really need a way to get their, you know, a cost-effective way to get their products to market. So what DeLong has planned right now for their initial phase is they're going to be moving dry distillers grains, we call DDGs, which is a byproduct of the ethanol process. They'll be moving that product out into the international markets, and that's going to be used as an animal feed. But there's also the opportunity now to move other types of grains, so grain, corn, soy, different types of agricultural products. And so we already have seen some inquiry from some of the growers in the region about possibly using that as a kind of a release valve because we've lost that grain facility that was once located right here.
That's what I'm wondering. I mean, what has happened to the movement of these crops, these raw materials before this facility? I mean, is it alleviating pressures in the commodities transportation system for farmers in the upper Midwest?
It absolutely is. And I'll tell you, I've been to conferences across the country. And when you talk about the agricultural movements at the federal level, there's room to, you know, grow even bigger and to produce even more and to export even more. And so I think, you know, as you see DeLong come online and you see them expand what they're able to offer, you're going to see that those exports are going to increase. And that's exactly what we want to do at the state level, at the national level. But for us here at the local level, the regional level, we really want to make sure that we have that resource available to the farmers in the area.
What about, Jackie, Port Milwaukee's location being that northernmost point on the Great Lakes that a river barge can navigate from, say, you know, New Orleans or Houston? How does its location affect your tonnage, affect the port activity and what's possible?
Sure. So we know that shipping materials by vessel is one of the safest, most efficient, environmentally friendly ways to ship commodities. So being able to get commodities from all these different points, from the south and from the east, through the Mississippi, but then also through the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Seaway, being that point to be able to get commodities up to this part of the country, Port Milwaukee plays a significant role in that. So that means that, you know, as a port, is really where all the modes of transportation come together. So if you get products here on a barge, we can put them on a truck or we can put them on rail cars and get them to other parts of the country where they may not have water access. So that us being that most northern point on the Mississippi, that's huge for us.
When I think of these barges, I think of container shipping, but that is probably only a piece of it. What might be the activity like in a typical day at the port? Like, what's coming in and out?
Well, we're moving. We've got some of our tenants are moving steel. We've got salt. Everybody knows salt's a huge one, right? So we think about the winter and the roads and a lot of the folks who are using salt for the municipalities, a lot of that salt comes through the port. So that's one. But we also have project cargo. So there are we had like some limestone blocks come through here. We've seen the yacht structures. So people are putting yachts together. Those can come through the port. So it really just depends. We try to facilitate, if somebody's looking to ship something, we try to connect them with a partner here at the port that's able to do that, who's, you know, got the resources and got the experience in that particular area to move those commodities. So that can mean project cargoes, which are bigger pieces, but then also bulk cargoes. So that's like the salt and limestone and, different things like that.
Talking with Port Milwaukee's Director Jackie Carter, giving us a glimpse of the port's harbor, what is coming in and out of Milwaukee, and taking your questions at 800-642-1234. We're going to turn to the environment now. Leading us off is Marcus in Milwaukee. Marcus, hi.
Hi, Ms. Carter. So I live in Milwaukee, obviously. My question for you is, has Port Milwaukee taken and done any advanced planning to make sure that we mitigate any potential invasive species that might be coming in with the expanded shipping? Just due to the simple fact we have zebra mussels already here, we have the Asian carp coming up the Mississippi and then coming across in Illinois. And so I guess I was wondering if there's anything in the planning to protect wildlife and maintain the wonderful way we have for wildlife down here in Milwaukee.
Yes, great question. So that work, Port Milwaukee partners with a lot of different organizations and associations. One of those is the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Seaway Development Corporation, and also there's a binational group. And so there's the Canadian side and also the U.S. side. But they have the responsibility with ensuring that things like that are not happening. So when those vessels are coming through the locks, they're looking at those ships. There's laws in place as to what they're allowed to do, if they're able to bring water into the country and different things like that. So those things are being addressed mostly before they enter the Great Lakes. So there are laws, there's regulations, and different things in place to address those issues.
So like loading and unloading the untreated ballast water is happening before they reach Port Milwaukee?
That's right, yep.
Okay. Marcus, thank you so much for the call. We also heard from Chris emailed to ask, how is this increased activity at the port affecting wildlife? And what is the further environmental impact there? Jackie, can you go into that any further?
Well, we are mindful of that, and so we work with our partners here in the city, the Harbor District, Milwaukee Riverkeeper. So we're being mindful of those things, and we don't believe that there's a significant impact that the increased activity is having. Moving cargo through a vessel is one of the safest ways to do it, but we are also mindful. Are there areas where we need to be more considerate about how those vessels are moving? Is there infrastructure that we need to put in place to ensure that fish and wildlife are able to, you know, still produce and reproduce and survive? So we consider all those things, but we work with partners to make sure that we understand those issues so that we can address them, and we work with them to do that.
I wonder if you could talk about the stewardship program, the ship, I'll capitalize there, about emission standards for vessels, that too a climate issue.
Yeah, so we know that, you know, clean shipping, green shipping is something that we're moving towards. And one of the things that was implemented here at Port Milwaukee is the stewardship program, which incentivizes vessel owners who have invested in some type of green infrastructure for their vessel. So if they've put on advanced equipment, if they are in compliance with green marine standards, so any kind of environmental upgrades that they've done, they can submit an application annually. We look at that. They have to meet three requirements in order to qualify, and then they receive a discount on their dockage. And so for a company that we're seeing, you know, dozens of their ships, that can be significant for them. So there's a 10% decrease to what they would pay for dockage. And dockage is basically a parking fee for a vessel.
Okay. We only have a few seconds left. Are you concerned at all about any dramatic changes in water levels to Lake Michigan?
We work with Army Corps of Engineers to monitor that, and we're trying to be as prepared as we can. So that's something we're also in conversation with UW-Milwaukee, or the University of Michigan to address some of those issues. So monitoring that very closely.
Jackie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Jackie Q. Carter, new Port of Milwaukee director, confirmed by the Common Council in February. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.
Can you talk a little more? Only
a minute. And we have more to come here on The Morning Show as we look for a Green Bay roundup of news developments and issues concerning northeastern Wisconsin. So stay tuned for that here on the Ideas Network.